The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. My name is Gil Alexander. This is Radio's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Loser of 68 American pounds.
As opposed to...
Very quickly is what I mean. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm great. I've probably lost 68 English pounds, too. Trying to help you out. Doing great, man. It's Friday. Crew's doing great.
We're always doing great on Friday because it's not a football Friday, but it's Friday nonetheless. And Steve Fezzik and Chris Felica will be joining us hour number two. Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. Felica for Fox Sports. Fezzik's got all kinds of topics he wants to talk about. A lot of stuff for reviewing what we've done on the show here in the last couple days also. So he wants to follow up on a whole bunch of stuff. The guy who forfeited his slot jackpot, parlays. What else is there? Oh, there's a bunch of stuff. We'll get a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. There's no doubt that the Crack Thursdays and Fezzik Fridays have become a little bit of like the political back and forth. Like I make a statement and then I need to follow up on that statement on Friday. The Fezzik follow.
Oh, a point counterpoint.
Yeah, point counterpoint.
Absolutely. You said I, so I was like, I don't know. You said something specifically that he wants to.
No.
I was just wondering. Jason Weingarten will be here as well. Jason's got a couple things that are, you know, Jason's a funny guy because when he texts me, I can always learn what's sort of annoying him, that's gnawing at him, and it's always something random. One, he thinks the Rams are acting like a B when it comes to Matthew Stafford, and he's just ranting about that all day
long.
Weird. And he doesn't feel like Travis Hunter has any idea about playing two sides of the ball. Like, there's really strange things that Jason is really just randomly. It's not strange, but randomly upsetting to him at this point.
Both of those football situations are upsetting me too because we do have reports this morning. Rams set to meet with Matthew Stafford in person today to discuss future. Raiders and Giants have discussed 2-year contracts already for Stafford that include $90 to $100 million guaranteed. That is from Diane Rossini. There's that. The Travis Hunter thing I texted you about. Every report I'm seeing out of the combine keeps changing the number of teams that are looking at him at wide receiver or cornerback.
He's not playing both ways. He wants to play every snap. He's not playing both ways every down.
And then, like, one of the interviews I saw with him yesterday, he seemed very dejected or upset about, like, even the idea of him not playing both sides.
Are you trying to kill yourself?
I know.
Anyway, that's the Jason segment. We almost had it ourselves just there. Are we sure coming up? A whole bunch of good stuff on the show today. But I want to start with tennis plays because we were waiting till the end with the G-Bank Best Bets at the end of the show here, you know, throughout the week. We're on a heater. This is our kind of time of year when this happens. This hard court season, we have hards with a little clay sprinkled in. I made a play that's too far gone now, which was before the semifinals of Dubai. I made a play on Felix Auger-Aliassime at +110. I hope subscribers got that. He's up a break in the third set against Quintin Alice. But that's, by the way, why it pays to be a subscriber. Also, because you get the best of the lines typically. Also at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, all their plays, they're at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. But when the tours are on the North American side, I can give them to you on the show as well. After our hit on Korea again yesterday, Maya Joint is the play today versus Elena Avanesyan. Maya Joint, the 18-year-old Australian. This was a lot of line movement yesterday. This was I had isolated Joint, but the line was -139 when I first saw it. I was like, it's a little too high. Mm. Next time I looked, it was -145. And the next time I looked, it was -170-something. I'm like, I can't play this. This is ridiculously out of whack. Then the next time I looked, curiously, it was -150-something. And then I waited an hour and a half. This was like later. I was prepared to not have a play today. And then I see her at -119 against Avanesyan, who is a very scrappy player who is willing to play points for as long as it takes, by the way. She's very annoying that way.
Really?
But Maya Joint is the play at -119. Her numbers on the hard courts of Merida.
Cowboys primetime. You get another chance to fire up another joint bet.
The Laszlo Dejere pick is, like the Auger-Aliassime, is a futures play, or as the Westgate calls it, something else. But in DeJere's case here, he's a Serbian player. He's got outstanding clay numbers, and they're playing in Santiago, Chile. He plays his quarterfinal match. So while the Oje Aliassime one was before the semis, this one's before the quarters, plus 330. His clay numbers are, this is sort of where the data comes to the fore, because a lot of the other names that are still alive in Santiago, Sebastian Baez, Francisco Cerundolo, those are more known clay court specialists, but DeJere's numbers trump there. So plus 330 to win in Santiago. Last night in the National Basketball Association, did you see the Steph show?
Oh boy, did I.
56 for Steph against the Orlando Magic as the Warriors cover in the end. Just barely, but they do so with a six point win on the road at Orlando. Steph loves historically playing at Orlando, and he loves playing on February 27th. We all learned last night as well. But the Warriors win at 121-115, which brings their record since the Jimmy Butler trade. Not that he had a good offensive night last night, because he didn't. But since the Butler trade, the Warriors go to 7-1 now. And Steph, just to sort of give you the historicals on Steph last night, just to be thorough, because I'm, if nothing else, a Warriors nerd. 7-1 ATS, by the way, in that 7-1 run as well. And look at those numbers on the left side of the screen. Third in net rating. You see the ratings on offense and defense, the efficiency numbers. Also, the Lakers there, which we'll get to, since acquiring Luka Doncic, their numbers, they had a win last night as well. But on the Warriors side, again, back to Steph, 56 last night, 12 three-pointers, including one at the end of the first half from a step or two above the in front of the arc on the other side of the court. So beyond half court by a bit. But 12 three-pointers. Curry had 22 points in the third quarter. He outscored Orlando 22-21 in that frame alone, which turned a 14-point Warriors deficit into a 5-point lead. And then with Curry on the bench to begin the fourth quarter, the Warriors held the Magic scoreless for the first 3:08. Stretching a 5-point lead to 12. Boncaro, by the way, scored 41 for the Magic, yeah. And nobody noticed.
Nobody brings it up. Yeah.
But for Steph, most 50-point games after the age of 30, 9. Most 50-point games after the age of 35, 3. He ties Rick Barry with his 14th 50-point game, second all-time on the Warriors, 7th most in NBA history. By the way, Wilt has like 118 of them. It should be pointed out, something like that.
That's every NBA record, right?
Yeah, but that one in particular, like, yeah, 118 he has with those. And then the most games, this he had 12 threes. He now has, Steph does, the most games with 11-plus threes in NBA history, 14 of them, and the most games with 10-plus threes in NBA history, 26 of them. That's the most all-time. And let me just say this. Klay has the most in a game. He has 14 made threes in a game. That's the record. So he has one game of 14, 2 of 12, and 2 of 11. Steph has 1 of 13, now 2 of 12, and 11 of 11.
It's just that's wild.
Just insane.
That's a great stat. That's a great stat. You know what? What's also kind of funny is I'm sure that 14 is under Steph's skin a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he thinks about that every once
in
a while.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Like, I'd love to match Klay, right? Or, you know, or get beyond it.
While this was happening, now from a betting standpoint, as we throw up the Warriors and the Lakers since their big trades, the Warriors was a five-teamer, to be technical. Yep. The Lakers was a three-teamer with Utah. I don't know, man. The Warriors have a lot to be excited about. They are in the midst of a 14-game stretch where 12 of them are on the road, Kelly. And they've gotten through the heart of that now with this big record. And the last four games on the road, three of them are against, let's see if I have this right. Three of them are against Philly, Charlotte, and Brooklyn. So they're going to get through this thing, one would imagine, pretty solidly. And if you look at the remaining strength of schedule in the National Basketball Association, the Warriors have the third easiest remaining schedule of Western Conference teams. Only Minnesota and Dallas have easier schedules than the Warriors do in the Western Conference. Meanwhile, the Lakers have the fourth hardest schedule left in the NBA. And really, there's five Western Conference teams that have the hardest in terms of the aggregate opponent win percentage. Phoenix, Sacramento, Denver, Lakers, Clippers have the five hardest remaining schedules mm-hmm. in the NBA. So a lot in the Warriors' favor. And, of course, they're getting back Jonathan Kuminga at some point. So I say to you, sir, a bet? because I'm really thinking about it on the Warriors to win the West. I'm not going to say to win it all because I don't want to get that far and not cash. So to win the West, they're about 9-1, 10-1, somewhere in that pocket.
Yeah, I can't blame anybody wanting to make a Warriors or Lakers bet right now. I get it. I think the difference, you pointed out the strength of schedule remaining for Lakers and Warriors. I think that's a big difference. It would definitely be a lean. Like, we would have had this discussion 3 days ago, Gil. I would have said Warriors, Lakers, both of them. I'm not sure about, right? We've gotten to the point now where I think they're still the two biggest wild cards in the Western Conference playoffs. I think they are. But I think the Warriors have started to separate themselves even a little bit from where the Lakers are at. The Lakers are...
I do.
Some of it's a little smoke and mirrors to me. I think you've heard a lot of this. J.J. Redick, a lot of credit to him for what the defense has done and what they've been able to do with the lack of size that they have on the team on this current version of the roster. Third best defensive rating since they acquired Luka Doncic is very impressive. Luka has not shot well since he's gotten there, so you would expect that to get better. But they can't keep up this level of defense, in my opinion, with how this roster is built out. Like you said with the Warriors, you're getting Kuminga back. You're going to see what this team looks like at full strength finally for the first time this season with Jimmy Butler on the roster. Between Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, these guys can cause absolute havoc for some teams on the defensive side of the ball in the playoffs. They're a major, major wild card. I still like the Thunder to win the West, but after them, Gil, there's no reason that the Warriors can't be the next team.
They end up with a 6 seed, which is very possible. Maybe they match up against Houston. Really, you want that mm-hmm. young team to play against those guys?
No, not at all. I like Warriors in that matchup.
And Jimmy Butler is probably the second or third best teammate behind Durant that Curry has ever had. I love it. Are We Sure? Next on A Numbers Game.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Always appreciative that you're here with us, Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is alongside as well, but it is a Friday and no time to lose because we have about 35 topics to get to. I counted. With Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, he joins us now in the studio to talk about all kinds of things.
And here we are on...
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
I completely botched that.
No, I botched it. I should have anticipated. You know what this is? We're groggy because, you know, Gilly's prepping for a show at 5 a.m. and then nonstop live wagering college basketball from 3:30 until about 10:30 till the Arizona or the Hawaii game ends.
Handicapping tennis throughout as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So in all honesty, you probably work 16 hours a day, right?
Kelly and I talk about this all the time, right? So Kelly's handicapping golf. Like when you have like 5 tennis tournaments and there's, you know, earlier in the week, it's worse because as the brackets move on and you get to the quarters and the semis, it's a little easier towards the end of the week. But at the beginning of the week, there's like 70 matches, right?
You have to love it. If you don't love it, this is not the job for you. I've heard people say, oh, gosh, Sunday, I got to watch the Sunday night football game and I'm already tired. I want to go shopping with my sister. And it's just like, this is not probably your role if that's the case.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly right. So we talk about that all the time. It's like, yeah, you don't just show up and do 2 hours. You're working all the time on stuff. It's a great life. Don't get me wrong. But what's the line? It's a tough way to make an easy living, they say.
Well, and do what you love and you won't have to work a minute your entire life.
Mm hmm. That's right. Okay, we have tons of things to talk about, a lot of which is, and I'm flattered by this because you're always listening, there was some stuff that we talked about yesterday, and I'll just go through them in no particular order. One was the guy who, if you missed the show yesterday when Crack was on, Crack Thursdays, Unscripted, we talked
Love
about...
Crack.
Oh, it's fantastic. Just completely off the cuff. And we brought up this guy in Pennsylvania who won in quotes, a $57,000 jackpot on a slot machine. But because he had self-reporting being a mechanism with gaming and with compliance, where if you are a problem gambler, it is a mechanism to sort of defend against yourself, defend against your own bad instincts. And so because he had self-excluded, $57,000 that he won, he didn't win it. They withheld it from him. And you believe, which I think is an interesting thing, you believe he still has a case.
Well, I think it'd be fascinating. You should call Bob Nersessian, who's like a gaming lawyer. And so I know he signed the disclaimer saying, you know, that he's foregoing his rights to any future jackpots when he does this. However, there is a precedent with lots of cases. Like if a casino says maximum bet $1,000, if a sports book says max bet college basketball $1,000, and I say I want $3,000, once they print the ticket, or if I go to a blackjack table and I bet $3,000, I have action. I have the casino, despite the rule, they have accepted the wager. So once they book the bet or they let me bet it, my understanding is that they, okay, if I win, I get paid my full amount. So the fact that you had this rule that he's not allowed to wager and he's not eligible for the jackpot, but they're accepting all these wagers. And if he's registered, if he has a player's card, I would think that that would trump the previous agreement that the fact that the casino is taking this action. I also think it's a stupid rule and the legislators need to change it, because here's why.
Yeah, no, I
You're
get it.
Giving problem gamblers a huge disincentive to ever sign up, because like, oh, God forbid I ever hit a jackpot. I'm the biggest Dumbo in the world. I put my name on this no jackpot list.
Well, it's interesting because it's probably a state by state thing, right? Because Vital Vegas was pointing out on Twitter yesterday to me that if this was in Nevada, right, that the person would have gotten the jackpot and then they would have been removed from the premises.
Sure.
But he signed to language that apparently was very explicit, like you're not entitled to any winnings that you have. But you made the point, or some of us made the point off air, if not on, which is, OK, but what if he went in there and lost money? Where's that money go? So I don't know. It's going to be fascinating, because some lawyer will pursue this.
And it's shocking how fast my buddies like Richard Munchkin, that's so good he's not my buddy, but he's a great blackjack player, probably one of the top five in the world.
And a gentleman, by the way.
And a fantastic guy, yeah. and 100 times smarter than you, me, or anyone else. Like, how come when he walks in a disguise within 5 seconds, they can like have security say, I'm sorry, sir, you're not allowed to be playing.
Yeah.
And yet this gentleman, somehow losing gambler, not nearly the same level of scrutiny to make sure he's not playing in the casino.
It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. What ends up ruling the day in terms of the law there. The other thing I talked about yesterday, or one of the other things, was parlays. Bill and I got into a parlay discussion. I don't know how you felt I did on that, but I sort of gave the three acceptable reasons to actually bet them. I also allowed at the end, if anybody listened to the clip, I actually allowed that in tennis, I still do them. But I don't even think about doing it in any other sport, because tennis, I know I have an edge. But you wanted to make a point about those, because we actually got a question about this earlier. You wanted to make a point about folks who play two-leg parlays. And then once they hit the first, they behave in a certain way.
Yes. And just anyone who missed the segment yesterday, basically, and this is basic strategy, the pros know this, you play parlays to circumvent limits. You play parlays to do correlations. You play parlays to look like a Dumbo.
That's right.
To preserve your playing lifetime. And also you can play parlays for special promotions. A place might play a two-team parlay of 14 to 5. So that's like laying minus 105. So you get extra half points on a parlay card, or, you know, better promotion. But cancel all that. None of that applying. The problem, I see this all the time. People like trying to look smart that are really stupid. All right.
And this bothers you more than anything.
More than anything. In fact, to the point where even if someone is a good handicapper, I will never recommend them when they give this out to clients, because it's just so wrong. And it's not my opinion. It's not what Steve Fezzik thinks. You take 100 geeks from the University of Chicago, math geeks, and you ask all 100 independently, who do they agree with? They're all going to agree with me. Mm-hmm. So now maybe all 100 of these math geniuses are wrong. And you're right. But probably the University of Chicago people, right? Namely, so you parlay two minus 240 baseball favorites, and the first one gets home. And now the Dodgers are playing the Reds, and they're still minus 240. The line's still the same. And here they come. Oh, let's lock in a profit, because my parlay was minus 100. I didn't lay minus 240. I'm laying minus 100 on my ticket. No, you're not. You're laying minus 240. The first bet has won. You've won 100. Now you have $340 basically risk to win 140. On the Dodgers. So they say, I want to lock in a profit. And I want to play the Reds, you know, plus 210. All right. You're not locking in a profit. You're locking in a loss. You're essentially laying minus 240 and taking plus 210. And then sometimes like, oh, I want to play the run line then. And then I got a big middle. It's all wrong on every layer. And every single competent math guy and sports bettor will tell you the same thing.
I think you made this point about this particularly, but I believe it applies to beyond sports betting. I think this is more of like a human condition thing. Betting, it really is a reflection of the human condition, which is people would rather be wrong their way than right your way.
You know, I was having an argument. Absolutely. And
it's beyond sports betting. I think that's just human nature.
It's beyond sports betting. And I'm guilty. We're all guilty of this. Yeah. We have so much conviction. Think about your feelings about global warming. All right. No one really knows what's going on. OK, you look back in the 70s. It was cold as all heck and it felt like we were going into an ice age. All right? And everyone's talking about like all this industry is going to create an ice age. Personally, I think global warming is a thing and I'm concerned about it. My best friend isn't worried at all. He has so much conviction on this. And I'm like, John, neither one of us can be sure. There's not enough data. It's incomplete, imperfect. It's like a poker. It's like a range of hands. You can say my opinion is this on a lot of things, but you just can't be sure in so many things in life. Now, the difference is in gambling, mathematics and the like, it's different. Like when you're playing a game like roulette on an unbiased wheel, or you're playing craps, or you're playing video poker, the math is the math. And there's no debating the math.
No debating the math whatsoever. Okay, there's also something, and this will bleed into the next segment, but there's also something going on here at Circa right behind us with baseball win totals. They have put out, and we should give Circa there, what the kids say, give them their flowers for putting these out. These are, you know, in the NFL, we're kind of used to them now. And usually when Circa does the NFL ones, they're sort of staggered on a couple layers on each side of the actual pre-flop season win total. So
these are the alternatives. The alternative higher season and win lower. By example, in football, if a season win number is 9.5, usually it's a game or two games. They'll go 10.5, 8.5, up and down. So in baseball, since it's a longer season, Circa has taken it to a little wider where it's 6 games plus and minus.
Correct. That's what I was going to say. But you, the reason I bring this up is because I always love getting a text that begins with, my son and I did the binomial distribution. And so you guys figured out these are great bets.
It's really fun. So for the binomial distribution loves betting that taking the extra game or taking the extra 6 games in baseball, because the it's complicated because the binomial distribution assumes, let's just assume a 500 baseball team playing another average team for 162 games. And if you just flip coins 162 times, it would say, wow, I want to play under 87, or I want to go ahead and play over 75. All right. And I'm willing to lay minus 250. Now here's the hard part. It's not just a binomial distribution because these teams, we don't know if we have a fair coin. Let's say a team's lined at 81 games, Tampa Bay, for instance.
Right.
Maybe they're better than 81. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're worse. We're not going to find out till they actually play. Further, as the season progresses, the coin does become biased. Injuries, roster changes, etc. Look no further than like the White Sox last year, that by early May, we realized that pre-flop number, whatever it was, 70, can't recall, was just so wrong. And this was just almost an all-time worst. Real was an all-time worst baseball team. So the coin can be biased. So the binomial distribution calculating based upon the anchored pre-flop number is going to overvalue how often you're going to land within the number. And the whale capper figured this out in football.
He did. He was the first person to bring it up.
And I all accolades to him, because I kind of poo-pooed it. Like, he was like, take plus 200 and give up a game. And he was absolutely right.
His sentence in English was, the notion that those are priced correctly is probably a fallacy.
Right. And the reason being is they're priced based upon the binomial distribution only.
We'll get to what Steve actually bet on that and so much more. Steve Fezzik, Numbers Game, VSiN, coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game live from Circa here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. With Steve Fezzik hanging out with us on a Friday. Fezzik Fridays. Messed up the intro earlier. My bad. Sorry about that.
No, I messed it up.
Well, no, I think it was both of us. Anyway, real quick, because you got a bunch of stuff you want to talk about. You did bet the Royals in these alternate season win totals we were talking about. What did you bet?
So I like the handicap. I heard Royals under 83.5. I do think there should be a fine.
Heard from?
You.
No, no. Adam Burke.
Adam Burke
on this show.
Adam's
right.
Going to get mad at me. $40 fine because he said 83.5, and that wasn't like readily available. But that's fine. He's still making me money, so I'm happy. And I like this whole handicap. To summarize, Adam said that the Royals are overvalued And is it Ragans? Like, you know, their ace might be as good, but he's not going to be better. And the pitching suspect and all these reasons why the Royals.
Yeah.
He likes under 83.5 or 82.5. But so I'm like, OK, let me take a look at these. Benson put them up, these alternative season wins. What's this? The Royals are 88.5. The Royals are not winning 90 games. The Royals, if they somehow overachieve again to the point that their noses bleed for 5 years, they'll win 86 games. So I love that extra six games where I literally feel the ceiling is like 87 wins if everything goes right for them.
They have a very frustrating offense beyond Bobby Witt and Pascantino in the middle. So it's if you were bullish on the Royals to have to sit through that offense on a nightly basis is going to be a tough thing.
And Burke brought up the point. I love this, that they're just, Witt is not as good on the road. So they're extremely vulnerable to a long road losing streak.
And I don't know if Lugo is going to be as good. Like, I mean, I think to me, I'd be more willing to bet that he won't be anywhere near what he was last year in his near Cy Young season. He finished second, obviously, to Tarek Skubal. Circa deserves its props for putting those up. No pun intended. They deserve their accolades for putting those up. And if it weren't for Circa, how would you describe the current state of affairs here in the lovely state of Nevada?
Well, the good news is that Nevada has, you know, 80% of the bookmakers in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. But the bad news is that it is a wasteland, despite all those Hall of Fame bookmakers. I got to tell you, without Circa, Colorado, Illinois, Ohio, you know, Pennsylvania would all be much more, not just more attractive, much more attractive in order to play. And in fact, there's a lot of sports bettors that used to live in Nevada and then they moved to Colorado.
Yes.
And because you had more access to books. And frankly, if you're trying to bet on apps, now these books, they'll talk a big game. Oh, we'll take bets from everyone. Yeah. If you're physically in the property, you take your helicopter over and hang out at their one property. I assure you, if you're betting on the app and you're not betting on Circa, I mean, you're getting $100 limits on college basketball totals at that.
I don't want to go through it again, but like, you know, MGM and William Hill, they used to actually take bets, right? But now it's all, and I love those guys over at the Aria. They're my buddies because I'm there all the time. But if you gave them truth serum, they're like, the apps kind of didn't, instead of making it a better landscape, it ruined things in that. You know, I'll give the NBA draft story again, where for those who missed it, where I was trying to bet somebody to go number one, a bet likely to lose, and by the way, did lose. And I had a day where it took hours, right? Where first of all, MGM wants to put it on the app. Okay, fine, I'll do it on the app. But then when you do it on the app, they limit you. The algorithm limited you to like $30. I'm like, well, if you were going to do that, I wouldn't have given you my money. Give me my money back. Okay, here's your money back. Which, by the way, I'm not sure if they're supposed to do that or if they just did it for me. Then I go to Caesars. MGM was glorious compared to Caesars. Caesars then spins the number on me after I make the, you know, so it's, if you can't rely on those two pillars, right? In that way, if you have those experiences and you're just down to Circa, yes.
And Westgate and South Point are paper tigers. It's true. You go to the window, they'll take a big bet, but not on the app. And believe me, as soon as you show that you're a competent sports bettor, you're talking about $100. So how the world has changed. I've got a copy, Blackjack Forum from 2000, and they're talking about you should be sports betting. It's 25 years ago. They're like, no camouflage necessary. No heat. No barring. This, my friends, is outdated.
He's got props and he's throwing them behind his shoulder. All right, let's talk about something else. This is another, like, it's as old a topic as sports betting is, but something rankled you yesterday, which is our buddy Spanky was talking about. And by the way, Spanky is right about the premise, but you just wanted to sort of be a little more nuanced about it.
By the way, and I love Spanky. Everyone loves Spanky. He's made a lot of money betting. So here's a guy who has been extremely successful in his own sports betting and has branched out and hosts Bet Bash. Tremendous job across the board. So he came out, I was surprised, on his podcast. He basically was cursing out everyone who is selling picks in the industry. And his point was, don't give any of them a penny. All right. Cursing them out. And
people who sell picks.
Yes. And I'll use an analogy. It would be like saying, don't play blackjack. You know, look at the universe. Like, almost everyone loses, but everyone doesn't lose. And anyone who actually studies blackjack and works on their game does win. They have the advantage. All right. So the same thing really is true. Buyer beware. It's like finding a financial advisor. All right. The vast majority of financial advisors aren't going to help someone who is doing their own research because you just they can't give enough extra acumen to your investments to pay for their time. OK, it's just too expensive. So you got to find the right way to find the experts. And I cited people like Brad Powers, Mark Lawrence, you know, like with their newsletters and how powerful those can be. It's like, who wouldn't pay $10 to get a Brad Powers newsletter or a Mark Lawrence newsletter or to go ahead and get, you know, an annual service? Dr. Bob's like self-documented and he's been a winning handicapper for 30 years. And no one questions, you know, I mean, he's staying up all night and he's working so hard and the like, yo, you did this and you're in this industry. Yep. So for Spanky to come out and say and curse people out saying, don't give anyone a nickel. And my understanding, here's a guy that made, you know, maybe millions following people that do exactly this and paying for that information. It just seemed inconsistent but you're right. In general, if you think you're going to make money finding some sharp former NFL cheerleader that is selling picks and buy her picks and invest in them, well, you're a little naive, I think.
Yeah. No, I do. I understand what you're saying, though. This is as old a topic as it is. We've gone years without even talking about this because I find it like a hackneyed topic. But generally, you know, once in a while, it's worth bringing up because there's always new listeners. And certainly at SiriusXM 158, we have new listeners who perhaps haven't heard this discussion before, which is, yes, generally, it's as old a scourge on the business as there has ever been. Right. It gave maybe more than anything, or maybe as much as anything, gambling a bad name because it was always, you know, the guys screaming loudest, right, on TV.
That's your children's
right,
children.
60-1, or you have the Vegas Daves of the world who literally, like, again, I'll go back to the Action Showtime docuseries, right, which I had a part in sort of consulting on. And I remember beforehand, I was like, I don't know, you guys, you shouldn't even give him the platform. And they were like, no, don't worry. It's so clear what a scammer he is. It's so exposed on this.
He drives a Lambo, though. He must be doing great.
And that was the reaction, right? That was the reaction. People were just as likely. Yes, there was a group that was like, oh, my God, yes, total scam. But there was a group just as likely. The reaction was, yeah, but he's got that villa in Cabo and he's got that car. So looks good to me. Right. So
Sean Perry now. Right.
Yeah. I haven't been following,
which my understanding is he's a tremendous poker player. And if you need some gambling advice, he probably could give you good poker advice. I don't know. I don't know the man.
You know, so I guess what I'm saying is it's as old as the industry itself. But yes, people should take a moment to say there are a couple exceptions. And I get it, you know, if there are a couple exceptions, like a Dr. Bob, for instance. Like
Todd Wishnev. Why not get Todd Wishnev information? He's giving out his information, what he's playing live. You know what? That's valuable information. And you know what? You can get it by giving him a donation.
Yeah, he's not even requiring a payment. That's right. But, you know, like it's a funny thing because you can make a claim that also cannibalizes itself, right? Like if you're good, you know, you sort of like, I just take, let's say Carl Sack, right? NBA guru who's on. There is no better. And when it comes to his NBA totals, it is like clockwork how good they are, right? So I would argue him, oh my God, you will make your money back tenfold. So, you know, at some point, do they figure out your edge?
Exactly. So that's where the asterisk has to come in. I've gotten into it with Right Angle Sports because on their site, they've said, be a favorite to win. I'm like, well, no, wait a minute. You're not necessarily a favorite. If you just smoke dope all day and then 5 minutes before the games go, oh, let me see what Right Angle's. Oh, they're on the Kent Akron over, which I'm on tonight at 155. Well, now it's 157. All right. So if you think you're just going to play Right Angle's plays at post after the line moves pay for his service and be a favorite to win.
That's the problem.
That is exactly the problem. So, but having no one would debate, hey, it's valuable to know who Right Angle has. And if I could get it for a dollar and get it when it's being released, you know, it's just a question. Am I betting enough to justify the cost?
Yeah, I think as long as we can have a nuanced discussion about it where his premise is absolutely 100% right, but just know that there are certain valuable people and certain valuable ways to view all
there are
stuff.
Exceptions to the rule, yeah. And just having the general information of knowing who's on what is valuable.
More with Fezzik on the other side.